VentureCast.
He lost the tops of his fingers on his right hand.
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's the Sabbath guitarist.
Yeah.
I know Tony Iommi.
Yeah. Tommy Iommi. Tony or Tommy? Yeah. Iommi. Yeah.
No.
He's number 13. Greatest guitarist ever. What? Is that not good? What?
No, that's ridiculous. Way overrated.
Oh, gosh. Guy pulled himself up.
Right, Ben? You're not gonna put him in the top 15, are you?
He lost the tips of his fingers, Jeff. Come on, man.
I know that it's not great. And we're not like, that's don't be good for really old. That's not how we're doing it.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, how is it going? Wow, what a night.
That was a really good fellas.
I am so super excited for tonight. It's been a while. We took a little time for ourselves in the last few weeks. And the boys down in research have just been grinding the London information. I don't know if you guys know this, kind of a music town, London, England.
Yeah, I hear good things about it.
Yeah, yeah.
The wilderness. We have finally left the wilderness of the British countryside, and we get to go to a real town.
But before we
I'm going to miss Birmingham's 6,931 parks, though. Let me tell you.
A lot of parks. Hey, before we get to London and this amazing show we have planned and surprise guests and all that fun stuff, we've got to talk live music really quickly. Have any of you seen anyone live in the last few weeks since we last spoke?
I sure have.
Who'd you see, Ben?
So I went to a traditional rubber chicken dinner with your mayor of Knoxville, India Kincannon.
Okay.
We went to the Urban League dinner.
Okay.
So the Urban League is one of the oldest African-American professional groups, and it's located all over the country. And Knoxville's got one of the older urban leagues, and they're very proud of themselves. Anyhow, their tradition is to have a live act after the dinner.
Okay.
You have a Prince spinoff band. Who's the band for the Urban League 2023?
Who?
Morris Day and the Time.
Oh, come on.
Morris Day and the Time.
Come on. That
I couldn't have believed how fucking hilarious it was. It completely delivered. It was amazing. First of all, he looks marvelous. He looks fantastic.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, he looks good. He's a little heavy.
Yeah?
When he wears the smoking jacket, so you can't even tell.
So
he's
great.
He's got the butler guy. It's still there. It's not the butler guy from the movie. Surely that whoever has that job quits every 3 years because it's so miserable.
Maurice.
But the guy had a mirror out, and he was doing the whole thing, and they played all the Time's greatest hits. It was so funny. It was
that
unbelievable. I was thrilled.
Oh, so great. Jeff, you saw Wilco, did you not?
I saw Wilco at the Greek Theater in Berkeley, California. I did.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. It was not my favorite Wilco show of all time.
I'm still haunted by the words your beloved said.
Oh, man. Sue's summed it up. After the sixth song, she leaned over and was like, oh, I get it. You're not allowed to be tuneful anymore. Like, they just... And... You know, the show drags, man. They play a lot of mid-tempo stuff. And there's a couple of moments where the devolution of the beat and the sound and the descent into chaotic madness, once you've done that like 9 times in the first 12 songs, it kind of becomes a shtick.
Right?
They do that thing now in Via Chicago where they just go, blah, 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 they just go completely
That's
bananas.
Fair.
But they've already done that on like Infinite Space and I'm There to Break Your Heart. And they'd already done a bunch of the songs that have the chaotic breakdown. So the seventh time they did it, I looked over and Sue's air drummed chaos. She was like, ah. I was like, yeah, that's pretty much what's going on, isn't it?
Okay. Well,
but I love them. I mean, I love them and I love the Greek and we had a great time. I mean, we went out for dinner and a show. Like, even that, it could have been Deerhoof, and I would have been happy with the night. So,
well,
and I saw myself last night.
How'd that go?
Fantastic. New venue, like 10 minutes from my house, called Baltic Kiss. And it was just great. They got an unbelievable light. I had like heavy metal, like 80s video light show. Like, I can't wait to show you guys the clips from it.
Okay.
Like, the lights were savage. It was so fun. And I opened for this cat who is just the greatest, named Frankie with an I, Jupiter. Who okay. Everybody should check out.
That's a great name. Frankie Jupiter. Let me write that
he's
down.
Like if George Michael, Rufus Wainwright, and Freddie Mercury got spun into a blender and came out really good looking and 6'3".
I am in.
Good thing. It's good stuff, man. He was really great.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. We shared like our entire bands were the same except for one guy. So it was a family affair. It was really fun.
What'd you close with, Jeff?
I closed with Emily, but I opened. Nice. I opened with my most popular song on Spotify with a bullet, which is the little fuck you song, is now at 70,000. Listen,
oh my God.
Climbing. It's my breakaway 71-second micro hit. So I'm pretty excited about it. I dedicated it to my 11-year-old daughter before I started, which was
that's good. That's
was
good.
Really fun. Yeah.
Well,
saw thanks for asking. Good times.
I saw Margaret Glasby. I recommend her to anyone. She's a fantastic performer. She's right there with you, giving of herself. I had no idea her voice was as powerful as it was. But the confession I have to make about my patriarchal upbringing still haunting me, even at this age, because a guitar solo would begin. Like, she'd finish a little verse and the guitar would start cranking and my head immediately would go left to the man.
Oh,
I didn't have to admit that, man.
I was just going to say.
And then I'm like, oh, crap. And then I come back and I'm like, it was like an unconscious thing. I'm like, oh, she's the one shredding, not the dude playing the bass.
Well, that joke about like, I can't operate on this. Person, yeah, my son exactly. must really get you every time.
Every time. I've heard it 17 times. Every time I'm like, God, I can't figure this out. Oh, just kidding. Speaking of fighting the patriarchy, gentlemen, fellas, we have a guest.
Woohoo!
Hello, Nina.
Indeed. Yes, we have Nina Plank, India Kincannon's oldest and dearest friend.
Woo!
And of London Inc. for how many years, Nina?
Nearly six. A year in Brussels and six in London.
Very nice. And so we visited Nina in London several different times, and all of my memories, or many of my memories in that town, are of visiting her and her showing us around. So we thought we'd get an actual expert in here to tell us about that fine city.
Which would be a fantastic change of pace. Nina is also easily the greatest idea generator for this fire podcast.
Oh, yeah, and the biggest fan.
Yeah, she's really like, she's like the fourth fella. If like Neil Aspinall was the fifth Beatle, Nina is unquestionably the fourth 50-year-old white guy, even if she doesn't want to.
I think she's more like George Martin. She's kind of like the power behind.
She kind of is, yeah.
True. Yeah. Yeah. So Nina, thank you so much for joining us.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. I am the number one fan. Oh. India said, so I'm working out with the mayor in her gym. Uh-huh. And she says, oh, Ben did something cool with some old friends. He started a podcast. So I said, okay, I get home to New York, I'll listen. And I was alone in my car, summer, New Jersey, no kids, no husband. And I listened to 1969.
Okay. That was a rough one. That was a rough podcast.
It was not. I know you redid it because I listened to the remake. And then I just listened straight through until I caught up. I had so much fun in 1969. And wow. I'm worth 21, so I'm a 52-year-old white woman.
Okay.
And on the cultural front, you know, I don't really identify with or relate to any of the jokes about family, food, junk food, college, music, TV, movies, sports, I mean, driving, cross-country trips. I don't relate to any of that. I'm not your audience, and I don't buy any of the ads that are now cleverly stitched in.
Uh-huh.
But totally relate to and love the music, the humor, and the intelligence. Yeah. And, you know, you're just a bunch of good guys. And also, I noticed, all educators.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
Yeah.
So we got that. So it was just the music, the personalities, and the NASA information that drew you in. Or NASA is what I'm hearing.
That was a fantastic list of what's not appealing. That was really excellent.
Amazing.
That was great. I was actually like, we have that many topics? We're doing great.
Well, Nina, you are awesome to come on and teach us about London. I've been there, several times? Jeff, how many times have you been to London?
A lot of times, yeah.
Okay, a lot. And Ben, a lot? All right, this is going to be super fun. Yeah, and I guess for those of you listening right now, this is a, gosh, I don't even know what number of podcasts this is, 125 or somewhere in there. We've been doing this for a long time here on the Electrocast Podcast Network. And Nina is here to prove that if you stick around long enough, you'll end up on the podcast.
Every single person who's listening now, you just have to hang in there.
Just
special guest.
Hang on.
It is really good listening and just gets better. And it's the special dynamic of the three of you, the camaraderie, the personalities, the knowledge. It's just fabulous.
Woo! Well, thank you. I'm so excited that you're going to be a part of it tonight. Let the four of us get on an airplane and head to London right now with the arrival song.
Top of the Pops, we could say it's time for old time as we hear revived live that great hit Waterloo Sunset by The Kinks.
Dirty old river, must you keep rolling?
I gave you the Top of the Pops version there for extra flavor.
Ben Barton, why are you making faces?
So first of all, you got to choose London Calling. That's the obvious one.
That's why I didn't choose this question. Yeah.
Also, that song is really weirdly had a second and third act. Like, people love that song. Like,
oh, really?
Dolly and Georgia know that song. It's completely random. Yeah. Huh. For whatever reason, that's risen to be like people like. So now people think that that's like the only Kinks song. or that's what the Kinks actually sound like, which is also a little bit weird.
I love that song. I think it's one of the most beautiful songs.
You picked it once, right?
Yeah, it was a night. I think it just knocked me out.
Are the Kinks properly rated in your mind?
Oh yeah, there's so much bad Kinks. One of my favorite records that I ever showed Ben. They made a series of terrible rock operas in the 70s.
Oh,
one's a three-record set called Preservation, and then there's one called a soap opera. Then there's one called Schoolboys in Disgrace, which has like a little English schoolboy being paddled with a like little red bottom, what? Like the Coppertone ad with the dog and the little girl. They lost their absolute minds through the entire 1970s. And then they had this weird third act where they become an American arena rock muscle rock act, like doing Give the People What They Want and Word of Mouth. And they're just a bizarre, weird band. But so they're perfectly properly rated. They're like a British twee suburban band. And then they're an unlistenable concept art rock band. And then they're a weird American muscle rock band. And I'm in it for all of it. I'm a big fan, but they're not. They're second, third tier for sure. They're weird. You disagree, Ben?
I think that they're, if anything, they're overrated.
Oh, gosh darn. Nina, where are you with the Kinks?
So mean, but I love the analysis with Jeff, and I love just the, you know, Ben grades on a curve, as we know. I don't want to take his torts class.
Oh, man. What was the song? I'm like,
I love Waterloo Sunset, and I love Ray Davies, and I love the slyness, and I love the class references, and I love the Company Man, and I love the
thank you. Yes. Excellent.
I love the tunefulness, and I like to hear a tune that's great.
Yeah. And then he has the song in 84 where he's like his sister.
Come Dancing. You're thinking of Come Dancing.
I love that song.
Of course you do. There's nothing wrong with that song. It's totally great. I've seen the Kinks twice. I've seen Ray Davies solo twice. Okay. I am not a small fan. I just don't think they're tier one. They don't belong in the same line with the Beatles and the Stones and those bands.
Wow. All right. All right.
You think they do? The Kinks are our first show?
You know how I think you taught me this, Jeff, that it goes, and Ben, close your ears. It goes Beatles, The Who, and The Stones, and then the Kinks.
The Who over The Stones is just, that's tough.
And I'm thinking it goes Beatles, Stones, Kinks, and then The Who is in fifth place.
All right.
Yeah. Behind Wham.
We may or may not get a chance to revisit that argument in a few minutes.
All right. Let's go to some facts about London. This is going to be great. This is Nina. We call this closest to the pin. This is the population of London, England. And I don't mean the greater metropolitan area. I mean the city itself. Nina, I'll have you go first. Closest to the pin. How many people live in London?
Oh, I forgot we were going to do this. 3 million.
Okay. 3 million. Jeff?
I'll say 3.4 million.
Okay. Ben?
These are awful, awful guesses.
They are. I would have cheated.
London is more than the population of New York City.
That's the greater London area is doing that city.
No. 8.8 million is the correct answer.
Well, I was going to say 9, but every time I do that, you're like, no, Jeff, the city population. And it's always like one third.
That's actually totally fair.
I am so frosty. I 9 million was my guess, and I talked myself out of it because Nina said 3, and I'm like, she's a million times smarter than I am.
I couldn't remember. I'm happy for Ben.
We're always happy for Ben.
That is so funny. All right. Let's talk about famous museums in London, and you tell me if you've ever been to the museum. Okay. So let's start with the Tate Modern. Anyone?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Victoria and Albert Museum.
Yes.
One of you. Okay. What about the National Gallery?
Yeah.
Excellent. The British Museum?
Yeah.
All right. Any favorites? Do you all have any favorites amongst those museums?
I like all the Rothkos in the Tate Modern.
Exactly. And the benches in front of the Rothkos. Are they not the most beautiful minimalist architecture you've ever seen? And I like the V&A because it's Victorian and it's wallpaper and it's weirdos who love botanical stuff. And it's just a wonderful, quirky place.
Okay.
I like all the stolen stuff in the
yes,
I mean most of it.
Museum. Like they're like, hey, this is the most amazing art you've ever seen. Where'd it come from? That's weird. It's here.
My favorite is the giant wall of the Parthenon with like chunks from the Parthenon and the rest of it painted in. Like you get the idea. That'd be my favorite.
Yeah. I can't remember the British comedian is like, you know, the people coming back from these other countries asking for their stuff back. And he's like, we're not done looking at it. So awful. All right, Jeff Simons, I'm going to put this question to you. Choose any of those museums, and I want you to describe it in the voice of Eliza Doolittle.
That's Pygmalion?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is this pre or post transfiguration? Like, am I this Eliza Doolittle or am I this Eliza Doolittle?
Oh, they're both good.
Did I pick the right guy for that? That's all I needed.
Well, and the Tate Modern, you see, they have these paintings. Well, it's just one stripe. I mean, my kindergartner could do that, and he's not rich. What's all that about?
Nina, I'll put this question to you, this next question. Which country in the world has the busiest airport system? So not an individual airport, but all the airports around the city.
Gee, I hope it's Heathrow since we're here and I'm losing.
It's London, correct. And it's Gatwick and Heathrow. And then what else is there? There's Worcestershire or something. There are like 5 airports that serve London. So London has the busiest airport system in the world. Ben Barton, name another city in the top 5.
First of all, so unfair to Nina. You're like, hey, can you name the name of this podcast? And she gets it. And then you're like, hey, Ben, can you answer this impossible question?
Stansted.
I'm going to name one of the other five cities that has a bunch of airports, and it's only for the one city, right?
Yep. Right, predominantly. Predominantly. Did you say New York?
New York City, excellent. Yeah.
New York is second in the world. Jeff, you have three choices left in your top five.
I'll do the Los Angeles area, which I assume includes
LA. Excellent. That is number five. So we're looking for number three and number four. Any guesses, Nina?
Yikes. I'm glad Ben got the New York native question. I'm not going to go with my humble Washington, D.C., which is my hometown.
That is correct. Don't go with them.
I passed to my...
I got it. Tokyo.
Tokyo is number three. Excellent work. And number four? It is Shanghai.
Oh, that's a great one. I would not have come up with that.
Five busiest airport systems in the world.
You know what's great about this question is Tim accidentally visited all those airports because he fell asleep on the bus to Heathrow and woke up at Gatwick.
Nina, we were studying at Oxford, and Jerry Johnson, the Joyce professor, took us out and killed us. And then the next morning, I got on a bus because I had to be in Atlanta to start work the very next day. I slept right through Heathrow, woke up at Gatwick, and had to call my new boss because I hadn't started working there yet and say that I was going to be a day late. And she said, this is Lolly Hand, greatest boss I've ever had. I'm hearing her over the phone say, no adult flies internationally the day before they start their new job. I'm like, fair. That's fair. The great fact about this busiest airport systems in the world, Atlanta is seventh, and it only has the one airport. All these other cities have multiple airports. Not Atlanta, just Hartsfield-Jackson. All right. Well, let's go. Nina, this is the torture basement time. We started calling this the compilation. You said we needed a new name. We went with the torture basement. I'm not sure how we all feel about that. But anyways, this is it. This is the London compilation. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 17 songs.
Oh, good God.
And there are so many more. It was impossible. So many songs mentioned.
And I'm sure you somehow have made it possible to choose a bunch of inexcusable choices. Am I right? We're going to be pissed after this one, aren't we?
Well, I should say that when I was in high school, I did something that I regret. Like I said something really negative about this girl to my friends. Ooh. And I did not see that the girl's friend was amongst the crowd. And she's like, I'll see you guys later. And she walks away and they all look at me. And I just felt awful. You know, you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach when you've been mean to someone. It's the same feeling I have now as I set you guys up for the torture basement. This is nasty, mean. I don't think you're going to survive. I'm going to need 13 out of 17. That's all. Just 13 out of 17. Let's go.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, it really is.
Here we go. Good luck, everybody.
When you're a fan of the podcast, now you get to hear this twice.
London pride has been handed down to us. London pride is a flower that's free. Like it. When I'm walking out of the bar, London's.
partied at the Grand Central.
London boys, things seem good again.
Give me a London girl every time.
All the lights alive, the child in that.
Six, 12.
Oh my God.
17.
That last thing was unforgivable.
Nina, how many names do you have written down on your page?
Oh my gosh. I settled for occasional genres.
Okay.
You're our musical expert. You got to know the first one.
Oh, come on. I'm a fan. I don't know anything. I have things like pop ? And hip hop ? Written, but I heard Elvis Costello.
Oh my God, that is
okay.
No, I'm not here to help. I'm not here to help.
That was awful.
Yeah.
There's some good choices in there, dude. And then there were some unforgivable ones.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 0 for 2 right out of the gate, I think. I have no idea what the hell's going on.
I think I had the second one.
Oh
do you really?
I think I do. Yeah, I've got a guess on it at least.
All right. Well, let's take a break as everyone recovers from that experience. Because we're gonna make you do it again.
Okay.
After this. Tonight. All right. Trivia question. I was listening to a song, Never Tell an Angel When Your Heart's on Fire. Who sang it? Never tell an angel when you're... Was that just a local hit in Boston? Dang.
Yes.
Local to your bedroom, yes.
It was the Stompers, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
I think they
were... All right, we're back up. Boston. You ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the torture basement. Let's see if I've got them.
We have some bruised feelings.
With their help, they brought in a pro.
We're doing a track at a time.
All right, go.
London pride has been handed down to us. London pride.
Pause. I mean, can we just for a moment? London Pride is a flower that's free. I mean, who wrote that? Nailed it.
Broadway.
Yes. Guesses?
I go for bad Broadway, I always just think of Andrew Lloyd Webber and anything Elton John cooks up.
So I would say either Julie Andrews or Marianne Faithfull or some British ingenue from the 60s. What do you got, Ben?
Oh, come on. Let's move on.
It is Twiggy.
Oh, Jesus.
So you're in the right area.
I was in the right neighborhood. All right, here we go. Track 2.
I think that is a cheesy metal band or power punk band. I think that is Third Eye Blind.
He is right.
Oh my God. Right. I was guessing Manic Street Preachers, but that is an amazing
call. That's a get. Wow.
That's going to get us to 13, by the way, because we're about to run a whole bunch down pretty quickly here.
Go.
This is Blur.
Yep.
And this is ABC.
How do you know that?
Oh, I thought it was Howard Jones. That's a great guess.
ABC, they're a disaster. I can't believe you got that.
Recognize the guy's voice. It's the look.
Tower up, but frankly, I'm amazed.
Elvis Costello.
I know that one.
I threw you that bone. Something. And I'll let Ben get this one. But she won't take it to where she lives. Oh no. Light skin from London. No?
Nope.
We've got to hope I'm not wrong. That's Mr. Lenny Kravitz, is it not?
It is Mr. Lenny Kravitz. Very good. Oh yeah, I see her.
I mean, what in the hell is that? Timothy?
Hey, you want to get a guest, Jeff, or no?
So happy.
I really can't. I can't. You know, I want to know. It's whoever's trying to remake Madonna's Ray of Light. And that is exactly what that is, just like in the veil. It's
Ben,
the same.
Ben, you got a guess?
I have Seal.
Oh, that's a great guess.
Great guess. It is actually Lionel Richie.
That's fantastic. Hey, the next one is Fergie, London Bridge, banger.
Let's do it.
You guys are doing well.
That's Nicki Minaj, is it not?
Dang.
That's what I think.
Yes. Is that a hit? Ben? Nina?
Wanna Ben?
That's the Go-Go's, right?
It's the Go-Go's, baby.
All right, nice.
Taylor Swift.
Yep, Swift. Good roll. This is you too.
That's 11. London,
now you've met the London boys. Things seem good again.
Ben?
No idea.
Oh, it's David Bowie, isn't it?
It is David Bowie.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Ah, so that's 12. Give me your London girl
every time. All the lies. See, I'm mad at you. That's a 3-second clip.
Yeah.
You gave us like 45 seconds of Third Eye Blind to punish us. And I know it's because you were like, hey, this sounds pretty good. You didn't want to cut it. That could be so many artists.
That's the meanest thing you've ever said to me. That was Tori.
Wait,
I'm sorry. I thought you gave up. Sorry.
Do we have any guesses? We have any guesses?
He said who it was, so I can guess if you want.
Oh, I didn't hear. I was gonna guess Florence and the Machine.
Oh.
And I was gonna ask for help with sultry piano player artists, because I can't place it.
Tori Amos.
That is correct. Tori Amos.
I really probably shouldn't have gotten that. Damn it. All right, here we go. And then how many more?
So this is 13. You got David Gray, right?
This is David Gray.
13 is Dave Gray. You guys got out of the
win. We need to get the last one.
Oh no, I got another one. There's another.
And this is your genre.
All right. I need Ben to break the tie. I have two guesses. This is a heavy metal band from the 80s. But it's not Iron Maiden, and it's not one of the, like, it's one of the concept, like, soft metal bands. So it's either Stryper or Marillion or Queensryche. I don't know which one it is, though. So I have no idea. But it's one of those kinds of bands. It might not be any of those, but it's one of those three.
Maybe it was Ronnie James Dio.
No. It's way too soft for Ronnie James Dio.
All right, let's go with Queensryche.
It doesn't go, ha, ha, ha. I mean, Ronnie James Dio is all about the vibrato. But what do I know? And we can
Hold up, dude. Let's go with Queensryche. That's fine.
It was Queensryche.
Oh, thank God. Yes.
Well done, Jeff.
Yeah. How did you do that?
Was I dreaming this? Didn't you play American Boy by Estelle and Kanye West somewhere in there?
No.
I just that was just an obvious one to do. And you didn't that one made me mad. I physically wrote down American Boy, Estelle Kanye.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. You must have just nodded off during the Twiggy portion.
Did we win?
I you think won. Congratulations to the talent. Fantastic.
Yep.
And it's way more fun to watch y'all play this than just to listen. because I did get three artists. I really, truly did. Yay. All by myself. But I got two songs for my Thank You 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys playlist, which now has 275 songs on it, which is 17 Ooh. Hours of wow. listening playlist. Because I don't know the Fergie song, what's the name, so I can put it on.
London okay. Bridge.
London Bridge by Fergie.
Great. And I don't know the other one that everybody liked. Well, I forget.
Oh.
Is that the Elvis Costello song? I really like it.
I love Blur, and I didn't know the Blur song.
Oh, that's okay. London something.
London yeah. Love? London yeah. Love. Wait, Nina.
I'm allowed to put songs on my list, even if I know the artist. If I don't know the song, if I learn it from you, it goes on your list.
There you go.
And Nina, is this a publicly available list?
Oh, yeah. And Tim, you are going to be so pleased to hear this because
okay.
it has 4 followers, and I believe we are all here tonight.
That's awesome. That is great. Well, everyone is listening. Time to get on board. Nina's 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys. What do you call it? Like the greatest hits? What are you calling it?
It is called Thank You, 50-year-old white guys.
See? That's good. That's good. Look spreading. At the difference between, Nina's not trying to self-promote. She's not trying to take credit. She's just grateful. And we're like, it's called our names. It's got our names on.
All right, really quickly, I'm going to rattle off names of guitarists who I believe are from the London area. Ready? Roger Waters, Pete Townsend, Ray Davies, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, Keith Richards, Peter Frampton, Eric Clapton, Johnny Greenwood, Brian May, David Gilmour, Brian Jones, Ronnie Wood, Slash apparently was born in London and stayed there till age 5, so they're claiming them. Is that the most remarkable list coming from one place?
They can kind of sort of claim Hendrix there.
Yeah, yep. That's right. I forgot. Yeah.
No, because London definitely.
Did he start a band there? Is that what he did?
That was where he got his start. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Michael Kiwanuka too. Is one of my favorites. The Adele guitarist and also solo artist. He's from London.
How do I spell that?
Kiwanuka, I think, Kiwanuka.
He's good. Okay. Yeah, it's America. I think, you know, Americans invented rock and roll, but I think you can say that London invented electric guitar playing as its own separate phenomenon. Like, there are great American electric guitarists before, but they turn it into a whole thing.
Oh, no, dude, like, when we were announcing this, when we were doing the tour guide and Timmy did this, town. I did the same thing I did for Bristol and the other British town. I wrote in London bands. Uh-huh. And I mean, it's hilarious. Insane. It's unbelievably good.
So insane.
I think it's pretty much the best music town in the English language. I take it over LA or New York. I actually prefer America as a whole. But London is like unimpeachable. Like just amazing.
Wow. So you're going to tell us what you picked or who you picked in a little bit. But a few weeks ago, Rolling Stone came out with the top 200 guitarists of all time. Did either of you take a peek at those?
I haven't. I've only seen angry responses to the list. Like, I actually
haven't looked at the list at all.
But I've already had like
up at guitar shops.
Yeah, several friends have already been frothingly mad about it. And whatever.
Well, out of the names I just read, how many of them do you think are in Rolling Stone's top 25 of the greatest guitarists ever? Top
25? I don't know. Who's in the top 20? I mean, who? I can't think that far. Good guess, Nina. I'm with Nina, 5.
I'm going to take over that.
For the purposes of this, I'm not going to count Jimi Hendrix. Only 4 landed in the top 25.
No, it's with Hendrix, 5, and Nina's exactly right. Well done, Nina. That's a perfect answer.
Good job, Nina. All right, name your 5 or your 4 after Jimmy.
Who, me? Us?
Or Ben.
We're trying to guess which ones are on the list, not our own.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Page is definitely in the top 25.
He's number three.
Clapton's got to be in the top 25.
Clapton is not.
No, that's because not. he's getting canceled.
That's a fucking load of crap. That's so bullshit. I mean, the guy's an idiot, but I mean, that's ridiculous. He was number one on the list 10 years ago.
Yeah, but you, yeah. But
people like you have brought Clapton down.
Now, you've been ripping on Clapton since this thing started. Now you're angry on his behalf?
That's great.
They went back and listened to Pretending, and they were like, we can't put that in the top 25. That's hilarious.
All right, so then Jeff Beck. They'll put Jeff Beck on there.
Jeff Beck is number five. So the top five are Jimi Hendrix, Chuck Berry, Jimmy Page, Eddie Van Halen, and then Jeff Beck is number five.
Well, Beck's way overrated. Way. Ooh, those top four, really? you can't argue with. I mean, I think Page is a little overrated, but the stuff's great.
Oh, disagree about Page, but do agree about Beck.
Beck is no way he belongs at five. They're putting Beck at five because they're sticking it to Clapton.
Totally. They're absolutely. I mean, he's Clapton's way less successful younger cousin.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Even though he did that awesome People Get Ready with Rod Stewart.
That I actually like that one.
Exactly, yeah. Because of that.
All right. You're missing number 13 and number 15.
You said that list really, really quickly, I'll admit.
British guitarist, go. Top of your head.
Yeah, I don't know. There's no way Townsend's in the top 25. No way.
He is not.
How about Keith Richards?
Keith Richards is number 15.
Good, that's right.
And number 13, I didn't say because I didn't know how to pronounce his name.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
No.
Not David Gilmour.
No.
He said that.
And I can pronounce Gilmour.
Give me the initials.
T.I. He lost the tops of his fingers on his right hand.
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's the Sabbath guitarist.
Yeah.
I know Tony Iommi.
Yeah. Tommy Iommi. Tony or Tommy? Yeah. Iommi. Yeah.
No.
He's number 13. Greatest guitarist ever. What? Is that not good? What?
No, that's ridiculous. Way overrated.
Oh, gosh. Guy pulled himself up.
Right, Ben? You're not gonna put him in the top 15, are you?
He lost the tips of his fingers, Jeff. Come on, man.
I know that it's not great. And we're not like, that's don't be good for really hold off. That's not how we're doing it.
Oh, my God. If that's not the lead, then I really have to take umbrage with the editors.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that is it. If you want to check out the rest of the Rolling Stones Top 200, feel free. Let's get to the favorite son or daughter of London. A note to our listeners. Next week, we're going to do a gas up in Liverpool, England. So the Beatles are the most successful band of all time from England. They've sold the most records. So I didn't want to go with the Beatles since we're going to get.
They're not from London. They claim London. Liverpool.
Yeah,
they're from Liverpool.
Yeah. That's fine. Anyways, we're going to go with someone who's very special to a member of this podcast. And I'm excited to finally give this artist his due. Jeff Simons.
You really want me to play this song?
Yes, I do, and you won't believe why.
Go. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Wrong.
can't stop this before.
Elton John.
I think Adele has sold more records on Elton John. Can't we have Adele?
No, we have Elton John. Everyone loves Elton John, Ben. He's a national treasure. Jeff Simons, about my selection, the Cold Heart Panau remix with Dua Lipa. That was released in 2021. Elton John's first album was released in 1969. So he puts out an album in 2021.
1968, actually. Empty Sky.
Empty Sky is 68? Okay. Yeah. I have no quibbles there. 50 years later, he puts together this record, which this particular song is a compilation of four different Elton John, Bernie Taupin songs. Four different ones that he just kind of mashed together and then got these Australian dance artists to come in and remix it and then have Dua Lipa sing over it. It has 1.7 billion streams.
I know this. I happen to know this billion. One. I listen to my sister's Elton John records, and he writes some great tunes. But Bernie Taupin's lyrics are some of the biggest freaking nonsense in the whole world, and they just let him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wait a minute. Do you have an example?
I know this song because it was on the Pride remix lists.
What's an example?
I got it mixed up looking for Cold Little Heart, which is a fabulous song by Michael Kiwanuka. Do you know him?
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about. Yeah.
By Cold Little Heart for like heart wrenching. Anyway, but
that song's great. I love that song.
I think it's great that Bob Seger made it commercially, and I'm happy for the bar bands that make it. I'm happy for Elton John and the nonsense lyrics. I don't pay any attention.
Do you have an example of any nonsense lyrics?
Yeah, all of Rocket Man is a little bit.
I was just gonna say he packed his bag pre-flight.
Because you don't want to do it after.
And then
pre-flight is really inconvenient.
He had a whole phase of country songs where they're pretending to be an American country band on the road, which I guess is cultural appreciation. That's how I should put it.
Okay, that's very, very big.
Bernie Taupin doesn't do him any favors there. He doesn't have any original thoughts about being an American country band.
I can have a little drink and shout out, she's with me.
But there was a time, though, when I sat up against the speaker with Yellow Brick Road and a number of Billy Joel records. Yes, I did. Yeah. And Franklin and Bob Dylan and all the rest of my parents' records and my sister's.
Yeah.
Who's older than I was. And everything I knew about the world, I learned from those song lyrics.
What year was your sister born?
She was born in 1963.
That's
71. So she's 8 years older than I.
That's my brother's age as well. And he had the exact same albums and Sniffing the Tears. And I listened to those as well. That's why.
And so she would clobber us if we went into her room. So we into her room. And
we're an Irish German family, and Peter got all the German. Yeah. You didn't want to go. You didn't want to mess up his records, let me tell you.
We're all German and no Irish.
So Jeff Simons, what do you do with Elton John?
Look, the scene in Almost Famous when they're on the bus and they're all hungover.
Tiny Dancer.
It's all coming apart and they're singing Tiny Dancer and he turns to Kate Hudson and says, I got to get home. And she goes, you are home. And they all start singing Tiny Dancer. For me, that's why unnecessarily ripping on Elton John is fool's gold. From 71 to 74, 5, he's the most popular thing in the world. He's more popular than the Stones or Zeppelin or anybody else. He's the Taylor Swift of 71 to 75. He replaces the Beatles in rock music as the thing everybody can sort of agree is sing-alongable when it's on the radio.
Yeah.
And that Elton John, I don't love it, but I can't deny it. Like, I know all those songs. I know all of them. They're so earwormy and impossible not to remember. I can't remember the last time I was like, I think an Elton John record. I think I'll put an Elton John record on.
No.
But I don't ever turn them off. Like, if it comes on the shuffle or it comes on the radio. I'm like, oh, I know this. But then there's a cliff. He is just like a lot of soul singers and comedians. Blue Hearts in 76.
Oh.
Dope. And he just goes like. When I was 12 years old, Elton John did his first farewell tour for the 1982 record that had sad songs say so much.
Don't they?
He sold it to Sasson Shampoo so they could do Sasson Cleans so much. And I was like, and he was wearing a little hat and he wasn't in the best shape. And I was like, who is this clown? And I find the whole attempt to rehabilitate him as a like nonstop perfect artist from the movie Rocket Man an unforgivable. Uh-huh. But man, when he steps on stage at the Troubadour in 1970 with a three-piece band and just burns the absolute house down, that live record, 11-17-70, is my favorite Elton John, and it's not even close. And that record's great. I'll defend it to the end. But well, yeah, he's cheeseball. But he's our cheeseball.
When you mentioned him going off the cliff, I thought you were referencing the Lion King soundtrack with.
Well, that's, yeah, among that. But I mean, yeah, it gets starts way before Lion King. There's 17 years of unforgivable Elton John before the Lion King.
That's what friends are for, right, Ben?
Well said. I've already done this rant. I'm just going to let it be. I'll just say fool's gold. It's amazing.
Well, let's go. We've got.
Don't go breaking my heart, Ben.
We've got a brand new segment on 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys. Are They a Night is the new segment. I'm going to name 11 musical artists. 10 of them are knights. You're going to tell me which one is not a knight. And then I want to know, out of this list, who do you think was the first to be knighted? Who was the second? And who was the third? Here we go. Paul McCartney. Mick Jagger, Elton John, Bob Geldof, Bono, Van Morrison, Rod Stewart, Ray Davies, Barry Gibb, Brian May, Robert Plant. Who is not a knight?
I think Barry Gibbs may not be a knight.
Barry Gibb may not be a knight.
I think Van Morrison might not be a knight.
Van Morrison might not be a knight.
Doesn't deserve to be now.
Well, I think he's a cantankerous son of a bitch his whole life, and there would be no way that personality would lend itself to knighthood. Ben, you just Ben's given up. He's just gone to sleep. He's like,
maybe
the internet broke up, so I only caught the end. So I'll say Robert Plant.
That is correct. Robert Plant is not a knight.
Go Ben.
Thank goodness for the janky internet in the mayor's home. Excellent work, Ben Barton. Yeah, Van Morrison became a knight in 2016, Jeff Simons. Barry Gibb became a knight in 2018, Nina Plank. Can you tell me out of that list who you think was first? The first to be knighted?
McCartney.
Yeah, I'm going to go with McCartney too.
Paul McCartney is second in 1997. The first is in 1986.
That's Bob Geldof.
That is correct. Bob Geldof. Why was he knighted, Jeff Simons?
Because he organized Live Aid in 1985.
Awesome. Excellent. Big, big deal. So Paul McCartney gets it in 97. Why?
I mean, Lifetime Achievement Award for Best Melody.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you. And then in Elton John gets it in 98 for the same. And then... it's like all of a sudden the royal family is like, you know what? Let's open it up for the people. Let's go. Don't we need some sort of organized, some sort of worldwide concert to help famine? No, just give it to Van Morrison. Really? Like what? Brian May? Ray Davies?
It just like, becomes kind of like the Kennedy Center honors, I guess.
I mean, from Van Morrison in 16, Rod Stewart in 16, Ray Davies in 17, Barry Gibb in 18, Brian May in 23. It's like a pancake breakfast at a church. Just give them away.
Man, that Queen movie did so much for everybody connected to Queen. Everybody thinks Queen was a big hit in the 70s now. Brian May gets a knighthood. That was an astonishing rehabilitation of that band.
Have you looked at the the greatest sales and records. Like Queen's fifth.
Yeah, but it's because of it.
You think it's in the last 10 years?
Yeah. My brother bought the Queen records and we listened to him and we listened to him on the radio. And my husband was born in 47. He's 76. Uh-huh. And he did not listen to Queen. And he wept through the movie on the plane. And then said, wow, that Freddie Mercury, he's pretty cool. And then Jacob bought us a Freddie Mercury doll, which is
there you go.
Part of the Queen comeback.
The movie did it. Yeah. So there's been an Elton John movie. There's been a Ray Charles movie. Aretha movie, Freddie Mercury. Who else? Who's missing? Who needs a movie?
They did a James Brown one. They did an NWA one.
Yeah, yeah.
Haven't done your Ray Davies Kinks movie yet, Timmy.
We're doing all rock biopics now, or just English?
Rock no, all right. I mean, the guy writing the Janis Joplin movie. Yeah.
Janie Jimplin.
All right. Well, we have gabbled on long enough. Let's get to our three songs, bands, events, movements, whatever we want from merry old England, London town. Who wants to go first?
Hey there, fabulous souls. I'm Stephanie Baklaan.
And I'm Eden Alpert.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Unapologetically Fab.
Get ready to join us on an amazing and real journey as we dive into life after 40 and own it.
We're all about changing the narrative, leaning into who you are, and living a life by your own design.
Join us as we embrace life unapologetically and redefine success.
This is Unapologetically Fab,
an Electric Cast production.
See you there.
Electric Cast.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, we got this chair.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric acid. Electric acid.